Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you'll come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. We hope you'll enjoy this lesson brought to us by Glenn Colley.
Open God's book to the book of Philippians, please. We're going to take up where we left off this morning. We'll be in chapter 3 beginning tonight, Philippians the third chapter. Some have called this the epistle of excellent things. And we have 8 amazing truths from the book of Philippians over which Christians should rejoice. But it's also things over which Christians will find the strength to remain faithful. And so we take up now in chapter 3, verse 5. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. That's the fifth one. It'll help you prioritize what's important in life. Now, let's put it in context. Here's what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he says, I gave up all of this for Christ. Go back up in chapter 3 of Philippians to verse 4. He says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And then he says, but what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Now I want you to make this observation that the list here doesn't just include sinful things. Some of them are not. They're matters of, they're not sinful. I mean, you got the fact that he was an Israelite. Nothing wrong with that. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. That's not sinful. Circumcision per se was certainly not sinful. And yet included in the list also is persecuting the church. The lifestyle that Paul was living was inconsistent with walking with Jesus. It was inconsistent with Christianity. Now, when Paul became a Christian, he says, that had to go. I could not, even though some of that lifestyle wasn't wrong, I had to give it up because I couldn't live in that lifestyle and be a Christian. You say, well, Paul, you gave up a lot. I mean, this was your whole world. It wasn't that he was nonchalantly these things. It was that Paul was, his name was Saul at that time. Saul was a big man. Saul was respected among his people. It was a whole lifestyle. And you get to Acts chapter 9 and now he becomes a Christian. And you see this same man who was a big guy. But now he's being let down the outside the wall of that city at night in a basket because these people who were his friends, who admired him, now are going to kill him. They want his life. And the reason is that he's a Christian. I gave it up for Christ. And you look at that and you say, well, that's a big sacrifice. I mean, boy, Paul really sacrificed a lot. I don't think he would see it that way. I don't think he would see it. I don't think that's what he's saying in this verse, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. I don't think he saw it as a big sacrifice. If you came to me and you said, Glenn, I bought a car. Great. Paid $15,000, and I might say, wow, that's a lot of money. You sacrificed a lot for that car. But what if you responded, well, now, wait a minute. I think I got a great deal. I believe that I could go on to Craigslist or to Auto Trader right now, and I believe that car would bring $17,500. Now, I don't know whether it would or not, but your attitude is that this wasn't such a sacrifice at all. I got the better of the deal. It was a good deal. Sacrifice, that's not how you see it. Did you ever look at somebody who was rich and famous and think in your heart, if I had the chance to trade places with you, I wouldn't do it? Come on. Everybody wants to be rich and famous, right? Wouldn't you trade places? So much of the world would jump at the chance to trade what they have for what those people have, but you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't. You say, well, why not? Well, because I'm in Christ. What I've got is so much better than what... I think that's how Saul views this. Paul views this. What things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. He's just like Moses, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11 and 24. Remember? We talked about it recently. when Moses was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Does that make any sense to you? All the riches. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Watch it now. Here it is. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And there's a number of you in this room right now who have done just essentially what Paul did. That you came to the place sometime in your life and you looked at Jesus Christ and the truth in the New Testament and you said, I can't keep living the life I'm living. The lifestyle that I'm living right now won't work with Christianity. I've got to give it up. It may not be that everything about my lifestyle has been sinful, but the whole picture is inconsistent with Christianity. What I'm saying to you is that it's worth it. I mean, you think about that there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. And our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, you know? I mean, so I was circumcised the eighth day of Israel, of Benjamin, of all these things that Paul boasts of. But he says, the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to go to heaven. Once you grasp that, once you really grasp that, then to trade the temporal things for the eternal seems rather small. So the next huge truth of Philippians then is chapter 3, verse 7. For what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Here's the next one, number 6. Drop down to verse 20. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's very interesting to go into the Roman history here about their colonies, because Philippi was a Roman colony. Now, the way that that would work is that the Romans would come in and they would conquer a people, but then they would leave behind a group of Romans to live there. And they would sort of set them up. And at this time, it was typical for there to be 300 set up in a community. And if you fought in the Roman army as a legionary for 21 years, retirement was that they would set you up in one of these colonies and you could live there. But now, the reason for it was that it was just a reminder to everybody who was there that this is a Roman colony. You people aren't Romans. We're Romans, but we are reminders to you. And the people who were the Romans living there, sort of a garrison, if you please, sort of a makeshift garrison, the people who were the Romans would dress Roman. They would speak as Romans. They had Roman magistrates. They practiced Roman morals. They were a people living within a people and distinctly Roman. It was a Roman colony. In that context, Paul writes to the Philippians and he says, your citizenship is in heaven. Now, the Romans weren't in Rome, and yet they lived as Romans. That was the point. You don't have to live there to be one. They wanted you to know, though, I'm a Roman. I'm from Rome. Paul says to Christians, your citizenship is in heaven. I really like what the philosopher says. Let me throw this up on the board. Pierre Chardin, he was French, he was a philosopher, died in 1955. He said, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. And what this does is to give you a perspective. I'm part of something. I belong. And the people who are Christians, I mean, they're like me. We don't always feel comfortable in this world. I mean, we're different. And sometimes we feel very different as we walk as Christians. But that's okay, you know, because I'm in this world, but I'm not of the world. I'm just here for a very short amount of time. And the way to look at this is that my citizenship is in heaven. Who are you? I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I'm not home right now. But one day I'll be home. So, the sixth amazing statement, amazing truth in the book of Philippians that'll help us hold on is this one. The truth is, my citizenship is in heaven. Now here's the next one. Drop down to chapter 4 now and verse 7. It's about peace. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now I want you to first focus on that word guard. It's a sentinel. It is a guard who would stand at the door and make sure that no danger came in. And the picture is that God would stand at the heart of a Christian and protect that heart, that there would be peace. But what about this business of now about you can't understand it? It's the peace that passes understanding. And you kick back up to verse 6, the verse before. Be anxious or stressed out for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace that passes understanding. I don't believe that it's just that you can't fully grasp it. I think that's true, but it's not merely that. There's more. It is that this isn't of human origin. The peace that you and I have as Christians is not something which human beings can duplicate. There is a peace that comes from humans. And it's, I don't know, you can think about all the different worldly ways that people find peace, and it would be a mistake to say that nobody has peace. But it would be a mistake to say that any humans can duplicate what's talked about here. It's not of human origin. It came from the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you have as Christians is the peace of God that guards your heart. Why do you keep being a Christian? Why do you hold on to your faith? Why do you keep doing the things that you do? And one of the reasons is that you've got a peace that's attached to following Jesus Christ and an eternity in heaven that people do not have. This, that they're not in Christ. This doesn't give any comfort to somebody who's not in Christ. I'm telling you, they may feel at peace. They may sleep at night, but I'm telling you, they don't have what's described here, and they never will until they come to Christ. And here's the last one. I'm in chapter 4 now, and I want to drop down to verse 13. The eighth of the amazing truths in the book of Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It'll give you sufficient strength to see it through. You know what? You can say that. I mean, it's pretty easy to say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Can you? Because see, most days are not so very difficult. But there are going to be some days in your life that are horrific. How are you going to deal with that? And will you have the strength? And that's what he's pointing to here. Look at the verse before it, or two before it. Verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need. I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. That's an amazing, amazing statement. Do you suppose that you can be content in life, no matter what comes down the pike? That doesn't mean that you like everything or that everything brings you joy, but can you be content no matter what comes down? I know how to be abased, verse 12, I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. It's comprehensive. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The Stoics had an idea about this. In fact, they would often use the same Greek word that he uses here. And their idea was that, and there's some seed of truth to this, that Socrates would talk about this. If you want to make a man wealthy, there are two ways to do it. The first one would be to increase his possessions. The second would be to diminish his desire. If he desires less, he would be satisfied with less, and thus be richer in the process. But the Stoics went about it in a very, very strange way. It was in apathy. They promoted apathy. You know, and sometimes you talk about a person and you say, because of his countenance, you say, he looks rather stoic. And what comes to you, is, I don't know, grim maybe, perhaps a little depressed, I don't know, but stoic. But the Stoics, I mean, I'm sure it comes back to this philosophy about how to be rich, and that was through apathy. The way that it would work is that you train yourself to not care. I don't care. And so one of their chief philosophers said, if you break a cup or a dish, you say, I don't care. and you really work on that. I mean, you practice that. You suffer some little loss. I don't care. And then you get to the point where if your dog should die, and if you've lost a dog, you know, that's hard to do because you get close to a dog. But if your dog or your horse dies, you say, I don't care. Utter apathy, because that's how you get rich. You're rich because you don't care. If you are injured, you got to work your way up to this, where you're injured or you're sick, I don't care. And they would say then, if you work hard enough, if you practice hard enough at this, eventually you can get to the place where someone who is dear to you, close to you, can die, and you can say the same thing, I don't care. Now, of course, what Paul is talking about here is with the same goal in mind, contentment, but not through apathy. And the big difference, of course, is that their idea was all from self. It was all from me. I'm going to work this contentment thing out in my own heart. But Paul's point was completely different and workable. It's much better. I can do all things through Christ. See, it's not me-centered, it's Christ-centered. I'm anchoring my boat of life with Christ. That's where I am. I'm going to serve Him all my life with all of my heart. And that, you know what? I don't know what's coming down the pike. I don't know what days will hold for me. But if I suffer financial loss of physical property, I'm going to remember that I'm a Christian. In the great scheme of things, you know what? That's okay. I'm not going to be here very long. If my dog dies, or my horse dies, or my car dies, you know, well, I'm going to keep that in perspective. That's not very pleasant. Could be very unpleasant. But in the great scheme of things, it's rather small. If I should be injured or suffer illness, I can do that through Christ who strengthens me too. Because I know that I'm not going to be here forever. And I want to be well. I want to be healthy. But I know that Christ is real. And I know that eternity is out there. And should my loved one die, I can tell you what I'm going to do. You ready for this? I'm going to sing praise to God. That's what I'm going to do. If my loved one dies, we will call an assembly of the Christians. And we will read from the Scriptures. And we will sing songs of praise and comfort. That's what we're going to do. Why are we going to do that? And the answer is right here. It's because Christ, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. This is not some aloof philosophical kind of concept. This is pragmatic. This is practical. This is real. This is how we live, isn't it? This is how we live our lives. It's not stoicism. It's not about apathy. It's far from it. This is about trust. You know what? You need to make a vow often in your prayers. I suggest often in your prayers to say to Him again and again, I vow to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Mind you, He's made that vow to you so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Father, I will never leave you. I vow to you, I will be a Christian to the best of my ability for the rest of my life. I will never leave you. And that commitment is based on the truths, the realities that we've talked about today from the book of Philippians. And I really appreciate your kind attention. Is there somebody here tonight who's ready to become a Christian? I tell you what, these things are great motivators. These are the realities. And it's what Paul wrote in this sweet Philippian letter. And I hope it motivates you. Repent of your sins and confess Him. The confession means as much now as it ever did. You've got to sacrifice. It means I'm going to turn away from what's wrong in my life. And it may be a chunk of my life. It may be a whole lifestyle. But it's worth it. Repent of your sins and confess Jesus and be baptized to have your sins washed away. If you need the prayers of the Christians, you know that we'll pray for you and with you tonight. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Is there somebody here who would like to respond? If so, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Glenn Colley. If you have comments or questions, Glenn can be reached by email at colley@westhuntsville.org.